This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Welcome everyone today to the ILTA's podcast recording titled Managing Expectations in eDiscovery. I'll be your moderator today. My name is Kathy Dallaire. I'm eDiscovery and Litigation Support Coordinator with the Stegman Elliott Office here in Montreal, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by two speakers, James McGregor, partner with Foreside, and Stephanie Clerken, Director of Litigation Support for Corin Tillery LLC. Welcome, James and Stephanie. I'm really looking forward to this podcast. So, big question, what are some of the most difficult expectations you've had to deal with, and how have you dealt with them? James, would you like to start?
I think when it comes to difficult expectations within the context of an e-discovery project, those tends to fall into one of two categories, and that's either related to cost or time. Many people don't understand why e-discovery costs so much, and more importantly, why an estimate provided at the start of a project isn't what it equals at the end of a project. And so I think the only way to overcome that kind of objection or assumption is to properly explain everything that's involved. And you really have to walk your client through all the stages of the process. Timing, similarly, is something which can be demystified by explaining everything that needs to happen in the course of an e-discovery project in order for it to go through the various different steps required, and why those steps can only be met if the evidence that you're provided is given in such a timely fashion. So very difficult expectations, and I think the only way to navigate them is to probably push back at the start of a project and really understand what is it that the client's trying to achieve. And therefore, based on that, you can provide a cost estimate that's accurate and reflects what the ultimate cost of the project's going to be, and also the stages involved in the process and what the client needs to give you at those various different stages, such that you can meet the deadline that's ultimately what the case team are working towards.
Understood. That is so important. About having a complete portrait of what you need to do is essential to meeting a deadline. And how about you, Stephanie? Can you describe any difficult expectations that you've had?
So one thing I just wanted to point out is what is great about what James just said and about ILTA as a whole is that whether you are at a law firm, service provider, a corporate role, our issues are really the same. It comes down to time and cost. And in the end, we're all just dealing with people and managing the expectations of people who really don't understand the process in depth. And it's our job to guide them through that. For me, I'm basically a department of one. Granted, I have some internal folks that can help me out as needed. But I mean, right now I looked and we have 62 users and 10 primary active case databases with close to, 60 million documents. As one person, I have no way to be able to do my job unless I find ways to automate and become really organized with checklists, trackers, those type of things. And that is my time management strategy, whether it's inside or outside of work. I like to automate stuff at home. I have checklists for my grocery list. And it doesn't take fancy programs. It could be Excel, Adobe, we use Relativity. And it's just taking more mundane processes that might take hours. If you can automate it and just move it off your plate, you can focus on the actual bigger ticket items that take more, thinking and more strategy. Another point I kind of want to mention here is I believe you couched as kind of what some of the more demanding requests I get. And again, I work with everyone. I like to joke I work with everyone and no one at the same time because it's true. I work with literally every person in our law firm. And it leads to quite a few situations where everyone is competing for my time and everybody wants something all at once. And in those situations, again, it goes back to what James was saying about understanding, kind of upfront what's going to go into these tasks, but it comes down to court deadlines. Whoever has a court deadline usually will win.
Yeah.
And it's nice, to know the real deadline, i.e. court deadline versus the, artificial one. It would be nice to have this deadline and just talking that through because that's how you can kind of delegate and prioritize your task list.
Understood. That's so great. Thank you for those time management strategies. I mean, automating, I totally agree that taking some time up front to automate a process will really save you downstream a lot of time when you're working on multiple deadlines. And how about you, James? Do you have anything to add about, I'm sure you do, about time management strategies?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess the difficult thing when it comes to understanding how time sensitive a task is trying to interpret the information that you're being provided and whether or not it's accurate. To piggyback on what Stephanie was saying, you know, understanding the real deadline is important because often you'll get questions or requests from individuals who say that something is really urgent and it needs to be done right away, when actually perhaps that's not the case. Or maybe if you've been given the full scope and the understanding of the project to start with, you'd have been able to construct the delivery of what they require in such a manner that these types of time-sensitive matters could have already been resolved prior to then. In terms of the general day-to-day functioning, there's something that I use called the Eisenhower matrix, which is quite a good means of effectively keeping track of all of your important and urgent items. The way it operates is it's a quadrant. So down the left-hand side, you break it out into buckets of important or not important. And along the top, you break it out into buckets of urgent and not urgent. So when you have your to-do list, you take all of the items on it and you bucket it into one of those four corresponding buckets. So either a task is important and urgent, or it's not important and urgent, or it's important and not urgent, or it's not important and not urgent. Now, it seems somewhat self-explanatory, but obviously the tasks that fit into the not important and not urgent bucket, you should get rid of those tasks. There may be some things on your list that, frankly, when you take a second look at them, ultimately you don't really need to worry about them anyway. So just cross them off and do something different with them. Tasks which are urgent but not important, those are things that you can delegate. Obviously, in Stephanie's case, that's trickier. If you're a department of one, you may not have the option to do so. But we all work within bigger organizations. And so perhaps if you can remove those not important but urgent tasks and put them onto somebody else's plate to tackle right away, those are things that then free up your time for other activities. And then tasks which are on the important or not urgent list, those are obviously the ones that move across onto your tomorrow's to-do list or later in the week's to-do list. You can schedule them, but they aren't things that you need to tackle right away. And then hopefully everything that you have left are just the tasks which are important and urgent. And those are the ones that you need to jump to right away.
That's great, James. I love it. I just getting everything written down makes things so clear afterwards. And your strategy is absolutely amazing.
I mean, I would say that obviously all of this goes out the window as soon as someone calls you up and says this is completely urgent. But always good to have a plan that you can deviate from rather than to have no plan at all.
That never happens. We never get jostled into something else. My next question is, can or should you offer a plan B? Should you work on that when you get a deliverable that's completely impossible? Should you offer, or is it just off the table? I'm interested on your thoughts on that.
I'll jump in here first, if you don't mind. I'm going to throw out Old Faithful here. It depends. I think it depends on what is making it impossible. Is it lack of time? Is it lack of resources? Is what is being requested just doesn't exist on Earth, which, believe it or not, I have had requests for tasks to be done using technology that just doesn't exist. I don't know where they thought this technology was coming from, but there is no easy button that people want sometimes. If it's lack of time, it's then kind of just discussing it with the team and the strategy and strategize from there. Is an extension possible? If it's a lack of resources, can we pull some others in to help us with this task? Can we, reprioritize other tasks to make this happen? And if it's something that doesn't exist, I always joke, you want to help create the company with me and we'll make some millions. But it's really just getting to the in the weeds and figuring out if there's a way to make it possible. And sometimes the answer is no, it just really isn't doable. And an advantage I see is I've gotten to know everyone's personality that I work with pretty well. And I can kind of gauge how much detail people want to know with these type of questions. So some do want to know every bullet of why this is impossible, and some are more prone to say, if you don't think it's possible, okay, let's find another approach, or we move on and try something else. But it's bringing people back to reality sometimes, and you know, saying no is the answer as well.
Love it. Knowing your players, I get, is really important. Yeah. And how about you, Jane?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to echo those sentiments, it depends somewhat, doesn't it? Ultimately, if the plan B is because a deadline has been missed or it looks like it could have been missed, and it's a question of rushing the process in order to get something out the door, I'd say categorically no. You know, you'll do far more harm by forcing a production out which is riddled with errors and, you know, heaven forbid, produces potentially privileged information than you will to actually push back on the requesting party and say, I need you to go back and get an extension, or, you know, we're going to have to negotiate being able to roll productions or whatever it may be, because to try and create something which ultimately exposes you and your client far greater than it would be to delay is obviously not an option. But, you know, in some instances, yeah, maybe there are workarounds that can be achieved. Maybe there are slightly different workflows or approaches that you can try. It's just about working with your colleagues and clients in order to come up with a solution. But yeah, you know, again, to echo Stephanie's answer, there are no easy solutions ultimately. So if your clients, and those could be internal or external, think that by forcing you into a situation, they're going to be able to make you produce something that solves their problems, that's a mistake. And ultimately it's your job to push back and try and explain to them what the various pitfalls are and why you're not going to be able to achieve what they're asking for.
I think all of us, and probably most of the listeners, have their own war stories about how a last minute request turned into a disaster, and then you never want to repeat that mistake again.
Exactly. And James, you mentioned something when we were preparing this this podcast, that you have to demonstrate some courage. And I really stuck on that phrase because it is so true. You have to find the courage to say, no, it's not possible. And sometimes that you will get pushback and say, we've got to do it anyway. But it does take courage to say, no, this cannot be done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an extremely stressful environment. And, you know, we obviously have a lot of pressure on us. Our clients have a lot of pressure on us. And, you know, we're dealing with aggressive deadlines. And that means that some people in the heat of the moment can become very worked up about a request and trying to achieve something. And, you know, it's easy to be caught up in that. And it doesn't mean that the request itself is an unpleasant one. But, you know, it's under a great deal of pressure. And so you need to be able to stand firm. And I think also, you know, it goes against our natural instincts to try and help and to try and problem solve, which is, you know, a kind of part of the job in this industry. But sometimes that problem can't be solved. And so it does then take a fair amount of courage to be able to say, look, I'm sorry, we're just not going to be able to achieve what you're looking for on this occasion.
Exactly. So given all of your great, great thoughts on this, what advice would you give someone about managing expectations?
So I always like to say, kind of just throw your expectations about your day out the window, accepting that your day is probably going to change based on a lot of factors you can't control, makes life much easier, at least for me. And also become the owner of the process. So like for me, if it's anything that, you know, discovery related, production related, that's my baby. And people know that now. And in a perfect world, they would always loop me in early on. Doesn't always happen. But people still know I'm the one to come to for questions. And I try to keep up the deadlines on that as, you know, a second, you know, layer here in addition to the attorneys. So want to make sure everything's done and done properly and keep people on track. But at the same time, you don't want too many people owning the process, because then you have the too many cooks in the kitchen, nobody owns it, and then that makes it really easy for mistakes to happen and deadlines get missed.
I love that. Own the process. How about you, James, on your side?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's exactly the philosophy, isn't it? You know, the best way to manage expectations is for you to set them and for you to create them. So, and you know, that, and that requires being let in by the case team and the client at the onset of a case to understand everything about the matter and where all the data resides and what the case strategy is and what key deadlines are in play. And then once you're given all of that information, you can help guide them through the process. So, you know, if there's X amount of data and it needs to be in the review tool by Y date, you explain when the data needs to be collected and when it's given to you such that it can be processed and uploaded within that time frame. And, you know, furthermore, when final decisions are being made about productions and when they need to be sent out, you need to be given the time frame around exactly when the final production set is delivered to you so that you have sufficient time to QC before it goes out the door. It's, you know, exactly as Stephanie says, owning the process. And that can only happen if you're given sufficient insight into all of the case strategy and the tactics and prior to the event. But I think that's the best way to keep your client managed.
Thank you very much, James and Stephanie. We appreciate your time today. And also a thank you to the audience who will be tuning in soon. Hope you enjoy and have a lovely day.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.